about taking a stand. I heard Billy pray, and I said something about it. Vance Havner said this. I might not quote this exactly like he said it, but he said something to this effect that, you know, a lot of people took a stand. They took a stand a long time ago. They're still standing when what they really need to be doing is moving, taking a walk. You know, sometimes you got to just standing in one isn't enough. Sometimes we got to take a walk. We got to, you know, we got to move with our the beliefs that we have. In James chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Heavenly Father, we ask again today that you bless the reading of your word and speak to our hearts. As we've prayed already, Lord, we're looking for you. We need you above all things. And Lord, I know your word will speak to us today. And ask in Jesus' name, amen. I titled the message this morning, All Joy, All Joy. And you notice right off the bat, James is writing and he says, "My brethren." Of course, he's writing to a church, and you know, the people there, you know, they're considered you know, brothers and sisters. We are. If you're saved, you know, we're in the family of God. That means we're brothers and sisters in Christ. The little church that I got saved in, when I was saved, they were real fond of, they used brother and sister in front of everything. They never called Sherry Sherry. They always called her Sister Boone. It was Brother Boone, Sister Boone. Now, some people, they would say brother and use the first name, but they didn't in our case. I don't know why. But anyway, you know, they called you brothers and sisters. Kind of, it kind of emphasized that that relationship. You know, there's a unifying power of the gospel, the unifying power of the gospel that connects us to other Christians all over the world, no matter what. I've said that we've had many people from different lands. And I'm going to tell you what you find out from that. You find out everybody doesn't do it like we do it. You know, we find that people in Kenya don't have church the same way that we have it. People in the Philippines, they don't have church the same way. And it's okay. You know, but they're all Christians, and you can feel that bond. And so we have a relationship that's found through Jesus Christ. So that's a blessing. Now, it's writing to Christians, but this here would also, we'll be able to look at this, see whether we're in the brethren or not, and I think it'll help us as brethren. And so true Christian fellowship does produce a bond. And the Bible talks about us bearing one another's burdens. That's what we do. You know, we share burdens. That's great. Because, you know, you say if it's shared, then it's cut in half, right? If you can share your burden with somebody, they're taking part of the load. And you know, I'll tell you what, listen, if you're not having a burden, if you're not having a trial, just hang on. You will. I asked somebody the other day about praying. We were talking with Sherry. Asked the lady. It was a lady where we were visiting and just in a public place. But the lady was coming down there. She goes, "Hey, do you have anything that we can pray with you about?" And she said, "No." And I said, no, not really. And so I started to question her a little bit, just ask her, you know, about herself and about her family. And she started telling me, you know, I said, you know, "Do you look at yourself as a saved person?" She said, "Oh, yeah." She goes, "I belong to a church." I shared this with the men the other day at the breakfast. And she said this, and she told me about her family and, you know, some problems with one of her children. I said, "Hey, there's something to pray about. Marriage relationship wasn't what it ought to be." And I said, "Well, hey, there's something to pray about." You know, by the time we got done, I done listed. She goes, "You know, you're right, you're right." I just prayed with her. I said, "Well, let me pray with you right here, right in public, man. People zooming up and down here." I just, you know what? And I told these guys, you wouldn't be surprised. Her face lit up like it was a different thing. And she grabbed my arm when I had my hand on her shoulder, and Sherry's standing there. And I stepped away, and she grabbed my arm. She goes, "Oh, my." She goes, "I just can't believe it." She goes, "I just never thought when I came to work today that I'd be prayed for." Just a simple act of prayer. I mean, you know, right there. But, you know, people have burdens. And you know, being a Christian doesn't exempt us from that. And so if you're not in a burden at the moment, just wait. You'll have one. And, but we, you know, part of our calling as Christians and as church members, and God puts us in churches, and you know, we're here for something. I got another message on this, but you know, we're here for more than just what we can get. It's what we can give, you know, to one another, how we can build each other up. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to encourage one another, and it's called edification. When you see the word edify in the Bible, that means to build one another up, and you know, it builds up, we try to help build up one another's confidence. But now to the point that I want to speak about today, speaking about really about afflictions and trials. Now I want you to notice in the text right there, if you have a careful reading there, when we talk about the, it talks about divers temptations, which means various, but temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So what is really under attack in the sense right here from the Christian point of view? What's under attack in trials a lot of times, or it's at least being tested a lot of times, it's not so much us personally, but it is our faith that's being tested. It's our the faith that we have. That is a trial, and there's different reasons for it, and I want to talk about that. And so there's a blessing there. There's blessings revealed in these trials. When we find out that these trials are to prove, which means to test, whether it's real or not. Whether we really have faith or not. You know, the Bible, I've been speaking a lot about salvation lately, and we had some people come forward a couple weeks ago to be saved. Thank God for that. But the Bible tells us to make our calling and election sure, to make sure that we're really saved. And the way that you know that, you have to look at some things. Last week, I think I spoke about some spiritual birthmarks that you might have if you're a child of God. So now, one of the other ways that you can look and say, hey, do I really have genuine faith in Jesus Christ? Is that where my faith really lies? So there's some testing there that'll either give you confidence that you do or reveal to you that you don't have faith, the real faith. And that's a good thing. It's all a positive thing if you find out that you don't have it. And then also that in the proving, and when we find out we do have faith, if we do have faith in Jesus Christ, another great result of that in our text says that it's going to give us patience. It's going to give us patience. Now, I'm going to tell you what, you may think I don't have any patience. I'm going to tell you, I have a lot more patience now than I had when I first got saved. Amen? I mean, I don't know whether it's, I know it's because God's working and working in my heart, and I'm getting older. Sometimes getting older, though, doesn't give people patience. I mean, it actually gets worse, right? You get old grumpy old guys that, you get kind of set in your ways, and you don't want anything to upset the apple cart. But, God, a work of grace of God in our hearts is that we have, it gives us patience. And so we'll look at some of those things this morning. I hope this will help you along and then maybe really have you question yourself, do I really have genuine faith in Jesus Christ? So we see the very first point is faith tried. It says that, use that word when you talks about divers temptations. It says, knowing this, that the trying, got to get my glasses on, another problem of getting older. The trying of your faith, which is, that's proving, or, when you prove something, test it to see if it's real or not. And here's the thing. God knows whether we have faith. God's not trying to find out. God already knows it. When you look at Romans, the Bible talks, and Romans talks about faith without works. Because, see, faith, we're not saved by faith that and plus our works. It's talking about that. But when you get to James, it's talking about faith and your works. Because the Bible says that faith without works is dead. And it's not before God, but it's before men. As a matter of fact, I don't know if my faith is real if my faith does not get tested. I can say I have it, but I don't know it. And I'm going to tell you another thing. You don't know if my faith is real, and I don't know if your faith is real if it's not tested. And the world out here doesn't know if our faith is real if it can't see it. God doesn't have to see it physically, but the world does, and you and I do. And that's what really James is talking about the proving or the testing, of our faith. And so, it's a blessing, really, when our faith is tried and proved. Now, I know, nobody's going to, normally we don't say, but he said, count it all joy, right? Now, most of us think, listen, if I'm going through a trial or an affliction, I don't want to count that as a joy. I just soon not. I don't want to have to go through a trial or affliction, but there's certain things that you cannot have. Patience is one of them. Without going through a trial or an affliction. There's some good things that come from trials and afflictions. An understanding heart would be a good one. But patience, and then we realize, hey, you know what? We can really trust in God, so it increases our faith. A lot of blessings that go along with that. But we, as far as afflictions go, we think, man, I'd like to be able to learn this lesson without having to go through it. And a lot of times we don't count it all joy, but he told us to count it all joy because, and I want to help you there with it and show you why, what the blessings are as far as that goes. So like I said, God knows, we don't know it. And so if your faith's not tried, you really don't have faith. It has to be tried. That we need experiential knowledge of faith. Experiential knowledge of God, experiential knowledge of faith. In other words, by experience we know that we have faith because this happened and I put my faith in Jesus Christ and God didn't let me down. I mean, I can guarantee you with that. I got those stories there. And so I know it. And so then when we say, well, I think I have faith, or, you know, we don't have to guess. We know. We know that we have faith. That's what he wanted us to see. Now, what do we find out? Well, one of the things that you find out in a trial when your faith is tried is you find out where you are most weak. How many of you know you got some weak points in your life? You know you got them, right? You know what they are. Where do you think Satan's going to attack? He's going to attack your weak points. Sometimes he attacks what you think is a strong point only to find out that you what you thought was a strong point ended up really being a weak point and you failed in that area right there in your life. And that's okay because really God, we really, when it's all said and done, we really don't have any strong points. Jesus Christ, he's the strong point. So you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And so we find out where we're most weak. When you think about this, our faith being tried, and I thought about this a lot. I had somebody disagreed with me. I know you find that hard to believe, but somebody disagreed with on whether God would send afflictions in our life, that it always had to be Satan doing that, because they said, their thinking was, well, because God doesn't do anything bad or he doesn't do anything evil. But now let me ask you, if God sent an affliction in your life to prove, to test your faith, to give you make you complete, perfect, and give you patience and to increase your faith, isn't that a good thing? That's a good thing, right? And so, but I believe, this is my belief, you might not believe it, but that's okay. You'll be wrong. I believe that God does send a trial our way. I believe God allows trials to come our way, and I know that God allows Satan sometimes to bring the trials that come our way. I think God does that too. I think they can come from different places. I think they'll be for different reasons. The text said divers temptations, which just means different or different kinds, or we can be tested or proved in different ways. Lord knows sometimes you're getting tried in different ways all at the same time. And God knows. And so, so when God allows it, the purpose is different. Or when God does it or allows it, the purpose is different than when Satan attacks our faith. And I want to talk to you about that. See, when God tests our faith, as I said, he already knows whether we have faith or not. But what he wants to do, he wants to increase our faith, the faith that we have, and he wants us to know that we have it, that we really have a strong faith. He wants to increase that or not. Or not. He wants, listen, if you're sitting in a church today or you're just living your life and you think that you have faith in Jesus Christ, you think you're a saved person, and you think it, and you're really not, God wants you to know that. He doesn't want you to go through your whole life being deceived. Because Satan can deceive on either way. He get a person sitting in church, thinks they're saved. Everything's all right. He's going to tell you are. He's going to say, yeah, you're saved. And then he gets a person that's not saved, don't have anything to do with God. He's going to tell that person that they don't need to be saved. And then he gets the person that is saved, serving church. He's going to tell them that they're not saved. I mean, you know, he attacks in different ways. He doesn't care. He's going to tell you a lie no matter what it is. And so God doesn't want us to be deceived. He wants us to know that our faith is real. That's what he does. And so God, that's one of the reasons that God would prove it. He wants us to know if we have faith or we don't have faith. He wants to get that clear so God can do that by different things. And so listen, James, he said he wrote to the brethren, but the Bible's clear that not everyone that saith Lord, Lord, is in the kingdom of God, is going to be saved. They're not everyone is. And so some claim to have faith and don't, and God wants them to see that. As I said, make your calling and election sure. That we've talked about that in the last few weeks. And so God can use a trial to increase the faith of the true believers and to show those who are not true believers that they really don't have faith. Now you think about a trial by Satan. Say Satan sends a trial your way, and he can do it. I'll give you a biblical example here in just a minute. Satan attacks the faith of the true believers because faith in God brings glory to God. Those of you that come on Wednesday night in our Wednesday night Bible study, we know what our purpose on earth is, right? What's our purpose on earth? Bring glory, just glorify God, bring glory to God. That's what we're here to do. You can't bring glory to God with a weak faith. You can't bring glory to God with no faith. You have to have faith to bring glory to God. That's what he wants to do. I mean, I pray, this is what I pray today. I pray this and I try to pray this. I want God to do something here, not to glorify me or even to glorify us as a church, but I want God to do something so that, and when it's done, that the rest of the world knows that we didn't do it because we're not smart enough to do it. We're not strong enough to do it, that God will do something that everybody had to say, man, it had to be God, right? I mean, that brings glory to God. If we could do it, it wouldn't bring glory to God. And so we have to, but when Satan attacks our faith, what he wants to do, he wants us to have weak faith or no faith or doubting faith because we can't do anything great for God or we can't bring glory to God. And if you're really saved, listen, Satan can't get your salvation, but Satan can get your testimony and Satan can keep you from being an effective witness for Jesus Christ. And he'll get that away from you and it doesn't bring any glory to God. And that's his whole goal because he can't get your salvation. And so he wants us to be discouraged. He wants us to be defeated. He wants to squelch what little bit of faith we might have. And so, to the point that we don't have any faith to share with somebody else. I say this all the time about our countenance. They said at the men's prayer advance, the guy got up there, he said, all right, everybody, fix your faces. You know, in other words, you know, fix your faces. Just, you know, we're supposed to have joy, right? I mean, we got to have joy. Fix your faces. We can't run around all the time down in the dumps looking like we've been drugged through a knot hole, always defeated, saying, woe is me. What are we going to do? And then we go to say, hey, let me tell you, let me share my faith in Jesus Christ with you. How's that going to work? Good night. I don't want that. I mean, look at you. You know, that's what a lot of the world will say. And so that's what Satan wants to do. And he gets it done, too. He gets it done just a lot. That's why you need a message like this. And his aim is to lead us away from God. Another thing we found out about that deal was he wanted to rob our joy, right? He wants to take, see, it said all joy, the title of the message, but Satan wants to rob your joy. So what happens? He attacks your faith to rob your joy. He wants to steal our testimony. I've already mentioned that. And then I'll tell you another thing. He just wants to ruin your life. That's what he wants to do. It's all, Satan, listen, he dangles this over here and it looks like gold and glitter. He dangles this and he wants you to go after it because really all he wants to do is ruin your life. He just wants to ruin it. He don't care how it does. I mean, look at the world we're living in, man. Dope heads all over the place. He'll get you into drugs. He can ruin your life. He can go in there and get you into alcohol. He can ruin your life. He can get you into pornography. He can ruin your life. I mean, he can get you into busyness. He can get you so occupied trying to make the almighty dollar. Listen, he can ruin your life. You know that suicide among millionaires is one of the highest groups of people that take their life in America today are millionaires. You think, why? What are they? Because it just doesn't do what they thought it was going to do. Nothing wrong with having millions if you got them. I wouldn't know, but it's nothing wrong, you know. It just wants to ruin your life. He don't care. He's not like glued to one thing. I got to do it this way. No, he'll do it anyway in a multitude of ways. He wants to just ruin your life so your life is ruined. And what do we want? I said the title's all joy. What do you really want in life? Really, when you boil it down. You want to just be happy, right? You just want to be happy. And you don't care. If you think this will make you happy, this thing, you'll go after that. This. All those other things that I moved that say mentioned that Satan dangles out there, he'll just get you to go after that because you're not going after God. It doesn't care what he does. He wants to ruin your life and he wants to take your life and he doesn't want to bring God any glory. He tried that. Remember, I was telling you about, he tried old Job. You know, I like Job. Job's a good illustration. He got old Job up there, you know, and man, I'm going to tell you what, it didn't work. Satan tried to, Satan's not trying to increase your faith, and I'll tell you about Job in a second. He's not trying to increase your faith when he sends a trial your way. And he's not trying to show you that you don't have any faith if you don't, because he doesn't want you to realize that. What he wants you to do, he wants you to believe that you can't trust God. See, when he got with Adam and Eve on his first attack, he said, did God really say that? That's the first thing he said. Hath God said that? He got him to doubt. And then he went out and flat out lied and he said, God didn't say that. If you eat of that fruit, you surely die. He said, no, God didn't say that. So what he wants you to think is that you can't trust God. That's his goal. And with the trial, he's trying to get you to trust everything else. He's not trying to show you that you're lost. What he's trying to do is get you to believe that there's no hope and that you got to turn to something else besides God for that hope. When we think about faith's blessing, second thing, a faith tried and tested and clung to brings honor and glory to God. That's what it does. Hebrews 11, there's a whole list. Hebrews 11 in the New Testament is a list. It's called the Heroes of Faith. That's where we got a little subtitle there, the Heroes of Faith, and it lists all these people that had faith. And it gives us a list of them. And, you know, David and Goliath, we all know that story well. You know, David was only a young boy. He might have been 14, I've read. People think he's probably around that age right there. Now, listen, Goliath was 9'9", I think. There wasn't anybody, adult or otherwise, that was going to defeat Goliath in human strength that the Israelites had. But David went down there and said, hey, who's this guy defying the armies of the living God? We're God's people. I'm going to go down there and kill him. Well, he did. He went down there and killed him, man. But what happened? He had faith in God. He couldn't have killed him in his own strength. But none of the other people could have either, but nobody had faith. And they were saying that they had faith, but they didn't have it. David went down there and killed him. Think about Abraham. And he took Isaac up that mountain. God said, I want you to take your only son, and I want you to go up there and slay him. Now, God knew how much faith Abraham had. God wasn't showing himself how much faith Abraham had. God was showing Abraham how much faith. He was going to go up there and slay his son. God stopped him. And he had a lamb to replace him. And it all pictured Jesus Christ taking your place. And I understand that. But I was thinking about that, man. What, taking my only son up the mountain? I got the wood and a knife and a fire. And I'm going to slay my son. And I'm taking that step after step after step. Even the men asked him, said, well, where are you going? Isaac even said, well, Dad, he says, I see the wood and the... He got the fire and the knife. He said, but where's the lamb? He said, God's going to provide. I mean, at that time, all he knew was Isaac was the lamb. God did provide, though. Man, that's faith right there, buddy. He didn't stand. He walked. He took a stand. He took a walk. Think about that. I like those three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar made a golden image, and he said, everybody got to bow down, worship that image. And these guys were putting their trust in God. He said, we ain't bowing down, watch. And he said, well, I'm going to give you a second chance. If you don't do it, I'm giving you the paraphrase version. He said, I'm going to heat this furnace up 7 times hotter than it ought to be. Matter of fact, it was so hot, the men that took them down there, it killed the men that took these guys down to the fire to throw them in. They got the furnace so hot. They said, we don't have to think about it. He said, I'm going to give you another chance. Think about it. We don't have to think about it. We're not bowing down to serve that image because God told us not to. We're going to put our faith in God. He said, fire them up. Threw them in there. The guys that took them, slew them, had them bound up, threw them in there, and guess what happened? The fire just burned off the cords off their clothes. And they were walking around. And then Nebuchadnezzar looked in. He said, didn't we put 3 in there? He said, I see 4 walking around in there. And that 4th one looks like the Son of God. Man, I don't know what he knew what the Son of God looked like or not. And man, they were walking around. I thought that was cool. I'd have been, man, look at that, man. We're walking around the flames. And they burned that. Said it didn't even smell like smoke on their clothes. I can't even fool with my wood stove without smelling like smoke. Huh? Huh? They said they didn't even smell like smoke. They'd have never experienced that. They walked around with the pre-incarnate Christ in a fiery furnace. But they wouldn't experience that without faith, man. They had faith. It took faith to do it. You got that kind of faith. I know everybody's getting some doubts right here. Fiery furnace, man. I mean, it's easy to say it from here. Oh, yeah, yeah. Wait till they fire it up. And then they say, all you got to do is bow down and worship the golden image. And you could say, well, you know, we could bow down and worship the golden image because we really not going to worship it because we don't believe in the golden image and, you know, God will forgive us anyway. Let's just do that so we don't get thrown in the fiery furnace. That's how we would do it, right? We would, you know, it's easy to say, yeah, I would do that. Or I would take my son up the mountain because I read that story and I saw what was going to happen. But Abraham didn't have the Old Testament to read to find out how it turned out, right? It's easy to have faith when you don't have to test it. But you got to have, now you're going to have to test it. And that's what God, and this is what God was, and he showed some, he wasn't showing himself that. You know, he was showing those guys right there. So, you know, faith always defeats Satan, and it always brings glory to God. It proves our sincerity to God ourselves. It shows us the great strength in the Lord. It shows us the great strength of the Lord, and it shows us our weakness. It also proves our motive, the inner man. You see, in Job's case, you know the story about Job, right? Job went up there before the Lord one day, and the Lord said, hast thou considered my servant Job? Man, he was upright. Said a few other things about him. So he was an upright fella. And Satan said, yeah, he worships you. Uh-huh, he serves you. He said, because you got a hedge around about him. He said, but you take everything he's got, and he'll curse you to your face. And God said, all right, I'll show you something. Now, Satan didn't know anything about faith. He said, I'm going to show you something. He said, go ahead, you can take everything he's got, but you can't take his life. He had seven sons and three daughters, and the Bible said he took all his sons in one day, took all his cattle and all, which was money, all of his livestock in one day, the houses and everything. It took everything, and then he was covered, the Bible said, with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Now see, when the Lord said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" there was nothing about his character on the outside that Satan could attack. Everything looked good, right? A lot of times we can look good on the outside, can't we? But what Satan was going to attack was his motive, his inner man. That's where Satan gets you. And he said, "Yeah, the reason he serves you is because you've blessed him and you've multiplied all of his herds. And, you know, you've gave him a bunch of children and he's got a lot of money and his health, he's real healthy." He said, "But if you take all that away from him, he's going to curse you to his face because he's just really doing it because you blessed him and that's why he really loves you." And God said, "All right, well, go ahead and take it, but you can't take his life." And he took everything. He lost his wealth, his health. He lost his family all in one day. And you know what Job said? He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Amen. Huh? Now, that's faith right there. That's a faith tested right there. And Satan, man, couldn't say another thing. I mean, he had to shut his mouth and get out of heaven, man. I mean, he just got him out of there. He couldn't do nothing, and he couldn't attack his character. He just couldn't believe it. I don't think he even understood it. He didn't understand it, that he could have faith like that. And that's what this world needs to see. That no matter what, see, them three Hebrew children, they said, we're gonna kill you. All you got to do is bow down. Can you imagine what their friends said? "You guys are out of your mind. Just bow down and worship the image for Pete's sake. We know you don't believe in that stuff, but you can save your skin." They said, "No. We're going to show you what the real deal is." And they went in there and walked around with God. I mean, that's something that they never would have experienced. And there's things, I'm going to tell you something. There's things in your life, your inner man, your spiritual life, that you will never experience without faith that's been tried. When your faith is tried, you're going to experience. I could tell you a lot about that, but there's things that we went through that I could not, my relationship with God would have not been where it is without it. And I couldn't explain it. And it was a trial. And it was hard. But I felt God's presence more. And you can't do that without, you know, your faith could not be increased without those trials. Satan, when Satan had nothing else to say, he said, "Though he," and Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." And it was glory to God. Satan was defeated. That took care of it. And then we see faith's joy. And the text says, "Count it all joy." Why do we count it all joy? Well, number one, because you receive proof of your own love to God. That's the proof that you have. You receive proof of your own faith. Now you know you have faith. And you also receive proof of your salvation, that you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved when you put in your faith and trust in God. And there's another blessing. Trial in the true believers burn up nothing but the dross. It's the term in the Bible is used like refining gold. The more that it's gone through the fire, the dross comes up to the top. The dross is impurities. It's something that's not worth anything. And the gold is more pure. And so what happens with afflictions in the life of a believer is that it really just burns up the stuff that we don't have to have, that we don't need in our life, the things that are impure in our life. It takes it out. That's a blessing. That's a blessing, but you can't do it without you can't get the gold pure without putting it in the fire. And you know what it takes? Sometimes, somebody said this, sometimes our trial is other believers. Sometimes our trial is another believer, but this is the deal right here. It takes a diamond to cut a diamond. Was that in our devotional book today? It takes a diamond to cut a diamond. And then both, and it makes that diamond shine. And so that's a joy right there. It's a blessing there. And then it says that we receive patience. And the last little part of verse 3, it said, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith," or that trial or affliction, "works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect." That means complete. and entire, wanting nothing. Trials work patience. And so the patient man is the man that's been tried. What kind of patience? Patient that accepts the trials of God without complaining, knowing that we're receiving this as a benefit. A lot of times we usually learn things by degrees when it comes to what God has for us. We slowly learn and we slowly rid ourselves. There's two wills that are going on. There's two wills. There's our will and there's God's will. And there's usually a wrestling match going on all the time. And what happens as we go through trials and we learn and we get perfection, what happens is our will slowly gets out of the way. And then there's only one will, and it's God's will. God's will be done. Jacob had an all-night wrestling match with the Lord before he finally walked away limping and he learned how to trust God. And so patience, it's a patience that learns how to release bitterness. Trials produce a patience that never grows angry and never ceases to love. Trials produce a patience that learns to wait on the Lord, a patience that believes without wavering. Trials produce endurance, is a word that's found in the Bible, endurance. And then the last point is faith perfection in verse 4. It says, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The word perfect in the Bible means complete. It's not talking about sinless perfection. And there's a lot of things in life that we want. You know what we want? We want houses and cars and money, and we want security and all those things. But you know what? They don't make us complete. I mean, we like them, but they don't make us complete. As a matter of fact, actually, a lot of times, things cause us to want more. It's like eating potato chips. Remember the old commercial, bet you can't eat just one? Well, that's it. You know, with things, if I get this, I'll be happy. Maybe for a few months. If I get that, I'll be happy. No. As a matter of fact, it causes you a lot more trouble a lot of times in the area of worry instead of faith. And so things have their problems. But the thing that makes a man better is faith in God and faith tried by God. It makes a man right, true, pure, holy, and that is completeness that we're speaking about right there in that verse, and it's perfection. Afflictions find the weak points, our weak points, that cause us to attend to them. And afflictions and the trial of our faith also produces gratitude. The man that's been tried is thankful, is a thankful man. Let me ask you about your faith today. How's your faith? Is it a real faith? You really, really put faith in God, putting your trust in God. That's salvation. That's what salvation is. Well, if I get saved, will I have a perfect faith? No, because then God's going to have to prove that faith to you. He's going to try that faith to make it better. He's going to take the diamond and cut it. Yeah, but you got to start with faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that faith the size of a mustard seed. We're all hillbillies. We know what a mustard seed is, right? Just a little speck. It would move a mountain into the sea. And we're not doing that. So faith, our faith, even faith to be saved, is smaller than that. But God, increase our faith. Well, let me ask you, is your faith real? Is it really real? You're really putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? And if you say yes, say how? How are you doing that? Let's all stand.